Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, we have a clown stravaganza for you. We found two movies about killer clowns, and then, well, you'll see what happened. But first, a bunch of random crap, huh?
Yeah. You want to recommend a cartoon?
I do. So as you'll recall, when we were last here, before a brief sabbatical, I watched a little, I played a little video game called, Girls and Panzer, which was, you know, so amazing, so wonderful, so unexpectedly brilliant that I was just, taken aback by how good a job they'd done. So everyone, on the internet said to me, oh, so you haven't watched the cartoon? Well, then why did you play this game? And I'm like, 'cause I like tank battle games, and this is the only tank battle game that isn't online, 'cause I hate online games. They're like, well, you should probably watch the cartoon. So I went and watched Girls and Panzer, the cartoon, and yeah, no, the internet was completely right. It is wonderful. Not only is it funny and cute, but it's some of the best tank action I've seen. Like, just a really deeply entertaining and thrilling tank battles on this TV show. So if you like tank action, and you like adorableness and light comedy, Girls and Panzer and Girls and Panzer the movie are 100% the thing for you. Also, cool. they have a cute teddy bear mascot who I really adore. He is named Boko, and his backstory is that he's just a jerk who picks fights with people, and then he loses, and then he's like, "You can't keep me down," and he gets back up, and then he loses again
because
he's not good at fighting. I was so massively entertained by Boko, and so like his stick-to-itiveness and his refusal to give up is, you know, kind of his charming thing. But at the same time, he is kind of a jerk who picks fights.
Right.
So, I really love this quality, and his whole thing is that he's the bear who is, he's the bear who is just horribly bandaged. So they'll be like him, he'll have a bump on his head, or he'll have his arm in a sling, or he'll be completely wrapped up in mummy bandages. So, Boko is a unbelievably cute mascot, and I could see myself getting one of those bears if they actually sell them. So, bravo, Girls and Panzer, you've really done a fantastic job.
Okay.
Next up.
I just thought of something I wanted to mention real quick.
Okay.
I did put on the list. So I have been rewatching SVU because this is how I spend my time.
Yeah, just like because you don't value your time. Like, I would suggest that, but anyway, continue.
I've already forgotten her name. The woman who plays River Song, Alex Kingsman, is that her name?
Yeah, something like that. Alex Kingsman, okay. I think is her name.
Yeah, so she actually appears on SVU as a lawyer.
Really?
With the last name Pond.
What?
Yes!
That's amazing!
I know!
In just one episode or in a bunch of episodes?
She's in a number of episodes.
Wow, cause she was on, I'm not surprised, cause she was also on ER famously. So I'm not surprised that she was on that show too, but seriously.
Yeah.
That's an incredible coincidence.
That's amazing. So I have decided that SVU takes place in the same universe as Doctor Who, and River Song has come to Earth and has established herself as a lawyer with the last name Pond.
Who I have to assume was just defending scumbags accused of sexual assault?
She is a defense attorney.
Of course.
But isn't, when she shows up, like it's more complicated than that and her clients aren't necessarily horrible people.
Ah, okay. So she's the sympathetic defense attorney, not one of the scumbag defense attorneys.
Yes, correct.
Okay, well that's nice to hear. Cause I would hate to see her playing just an out and out villain. Yeah. As attorneys often were on that show.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of scumbag attorneys representing scumbag clients.
Yeah. There's a lot of argument on that show for people, maybe people, some people don't deserve an attorney. Well, that's kind of undercutting your entire system of justice. Yeah, well, you know, child molesters.
Not that they don't deserve a lawyer. It's more like, I don't know if this deserves to go to trial.
That's true, because a lot of times the lawyers are just complete, you know, they pull some really nasty tricks to to try and get their clients off when really their clients should have just taken their medicine. All right, so that's, I don't know if that's technically a recommendation for
No, it's just SVU. Something I noticed while watching old episodes of SVU.
Because again, you don't value your time. All right, good. Okay, so let's move on to...
A book report.
I love those.
Did I talk about a book called Hex?
If you did, I've forgotten it, so hit me.
Okay, so in the past, or recently, I have given book reports for books I haven't finished reading yet.
That has been a thing, yes.
I have finished reading Hex.
Woo!
And it was a bit of a slog to get to the end of the book.
That's never a good sign.
Well, because it started off pretty good.
Right.
And then it just sort of like, the story isn't, it doesn't develop quickly. It develops very slowly. And then it just sort of, it peters out partway through.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, but I was like determined to finish the book, but it's just, it's too long. Like that, my main criticism is that this book is just too long.
Oh.
Which is a weird thing to say, like to make that your main criticism. Cause it sounds like I just don't like to read, man.
No, but no, honestly, it can be. Like you can draw out your story too long. That's a real thing that really happens.
Yeah.
When you don't have enough plot to cover 600 pages.
And that's what's happened here. And whenever there's any kind of development that could move the story forward, it's buried or resolved.
Oh, that's weird.
So he kind of, it's sort of like he gets in his own way to tell his story.
Wow. Oh, that's terrible. And this is called Hex, and I assume is about, witches who are also in a rock band. No, that's Hex Girls. Sorry. That's Hex Girls. My bad. That one's on me.
This is about a little town that is under the curse of a witch.
Oh, okay.
And the town was cursed 350 years ago.
All right.
But it's not like the witch cursed the town and then fucked off. So a gazillion years ago, the townsfolk believed that this woman had raised her child from the dead.
Ooh.
And so accused her of being a witch.
Quite reasonable.
And made her choose, I think, between her children.
Oh, damn.
And a son and a daughter, and it's believed that she raised her son from the dead.
And so I feel like the townspeople wouldn't make you choose. They just kill the one that was raised from the dead.
Well, she kills her son, and then the town kills her, and then I think they probably also just kill her daughter anyway. So they hang her, okay. And then they stitch her eyes and mouth shut and wrap her in chains.
The crazy part is I was about to ask if this is the book that had on the cover a picture of a town and then with a bunch of stitches over it, and
yes,
you've confirmed that it is. Okay. Yeah, this has been massively advertised to me in the past 3 weeks by the internet.
Oh,
like weird. The internet really wants me to read this book apparently, and they're trying to sell it on this giant Stephen King quote in the front, and I'm like, I don't know if I trust Stephen King's taste in books.
I can't remember if that sold me on the book or not. I don't think it did. But anyway, the point is, so the town 350 years ago murders a woman.
Of course.
And then they do these horrible things to her upon her death. And now she, like her corpse that's chained and all sewn shut, just wanders around town, and the town sort of lives under this curse of this witch, and it's like, oh, don't open her evil eye and don't open her mouth, because there was an experiment in the 60s and they were going to cut her stitches, and they cut one of the stitches so she can like whisper a little bit, and if you listen to her whispering, you kill yourself.
I gotta say, why would you, but just, okay. So you sewed a woman's eyes shut, you murdered her, you chained her up, you sewed her lips shut. Despite all that, she just keeps wandering around town.
Yeah, so it's like-
Why would you mess with that?
I know, right? So it's like, but it's like the town cursed themselves.
Yeah, it really does sound that way.
And the book, like, the book never really comes out and says that that's actually what's happened here. And okay. So it should be like a story of like paranoia and fear and like we kind of do it to ourselves. And that's sort of what happens at the end of the book. But it's buried way too deep in the text.
Oh, damn.
Because when the witch is finally set free, the panic that ensues has nothing to do with her.
Oh, interesting. But it doesn't make that point clearly.
Right at the end, it kind of comes out finally because she's just really sad.
Oh.
About what's happening in the town and all this other stuff.
What do you mean I've been convincing people to kill themselves? I just told them about my life.
No, she had, but the thing is, she does, when people listen to her, like, the people do kill themselves when they listen to her. So there's like, well, is she a fucking witch or is she not?
Well, she's back from the dead and has been wandering around for 500 years. So I think she's kind of a witch.
But she's not evil in the sense that she didn't curse this town.
No.
And I don't know. It's like
her only magic power was coming back from the dead and reminding people that they should feel guilty.
Anyway, so I read Hex, so you don't have to.
So what you're saying is she's more of a nag than a witch.
I'm more of an inconvenience. That's kind
of. Oh my god! Does the town have all sorts of like witch crossings set up at the places she normally walks? So like traffic has to stop and let the witch cross.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now I understand why Stephen King recommended it. That's amazing.
But it's the main. I think the main story in the book is this kid and his friends, and they like want to conduct all these experiments with the witch to see if they can like mess with her routine. And so they put something in her way one day, so she bumps into it. And another day they like manage to put a pair of sunglasses on her and the sunglasses melt when she disappears. And then they actually record her whispering. And this is a huge problem in the story because at one point the lead kid has to delete all of the information he has collected on the witch.
Right.
And he pulls out his phone and he deletes something on his phone, but you're not told what it is. But you're led to believe that it's the whispering that they recorded. Yeah. Then later on in the movie, while he's asleep, someone sneaks into his bedroom and plays the whispers.
Oh, so he didn't really delete it or is that?
What the hell was that?
So I guess he just deleted some pictures and said he deleted it?
No, he doesn't say what he's deleting.
Oh.
We're just told he deletes something on his phone.
Well, that seems like kind of pointlessly deceptive.
Yeah, so either the author's cheating or he...
No, the author's definitely cheating. It's like, he's got to delete all the things on his phone. Dave looked at his phone carefully and he's like, well, I guess I got to delete it. And he deleted three things. And then later like, no, not those. I didn't say what three things he deleted. Wink.
So, that was a real problem. Yeah. And then
screw you though, except.
And again, but there's no justice for him. Because when people find out who snuck into his bedroom, that there's like nothing happens to that person.
That's frustrating.
Does the guy
who had it played overnight kill himself?
Yeah, he does.
Jesus! Oh god, okay, that's terrible. Yeah, no,
and his little brother, he goes crazy too, and it's not very, it's weirdly written, so like he kinda obscures his own, like what's taking place, just kind of the way he writes about it in weird kind of roundabout ways sometimes.
Okay, more and more I'm understanding why Stephen King likes this book.
It's like, just tell us what's happening. Honestly.
You know, you can just tell us things. We won't be mad at you if you let us know what's going on in the plot of your book.
And then like, a dog dies and they go out into the woods because they think they hear the dog barking after he's dead. And then there's like rustling in the underbrush. And then they run away because there's something out there. It's like, well, was it the dog or not? Oh, maybe it was the dog.
Who can say?
What's the point? What is the point of all of this?
We don't deal in satisfying plot twists, like plot revelations. That's not our bread and butter here at Hex.
But that doesn't go anywhere either. So again, I ask the question, what's the point? And I will okay. end my way too long book report with that.
No, that's fine. We're not going to complain. I'm very, I'm very excited that, I was right to dismiss this book based on the ads they were showing me. Although it does remind me of one of my all-time favorite, things from, Something Awful. There was this story about, you know, that was like notes from a town. There was just like stuff from the police blotter of that town. And in that town, there is a giant stone obelisk with a hole in the center that just like scrapes around the streets of the town. And if you get too close to it, it shoots a chain out of the, obelisk eye to try and grab you. And so it's just like, you know, regular town events. Also, there's this obelisk dragging around. It's like, you know, making it interesting how the obelisk tied up traffic and things like that. It's just one of my favorite things they ever did.
Oh, that's so weird.
And it's a lot like the book Hex, apparently.
That sounds like it, yeah.
All right. So that's exactly my jam when you started talking about it, but then you definitely discouraged me from wanting to read it. All right, moving on to...
Lots of movies.
You went to a film festival.
There was a film, so yes, there was a film festival. Because we've been away for a couple of weeks, I saw another movie in addition to the films at the film festival.
All right.
So first I want to talk about Hurricane Heist.
You saw that?
Yeah, I did.
The movie that, as I said, had my favorite IMDb trivia in years, which is, I was ripped off, damn it! Okay.
So it's like, ridiculous.
Of course.
Of course. And the movie ended. I went with a couple of friends. And when a friend turns to me and she's like, what is up with her dress?
What?
First thing out of her mouth. Because there are these two characters who arrive at the reserve bank. It's not a bank. Facility.
The place they keep giant pallets of money.
Yes, this is where they bring old bills that are going to be shredded.
Yeah.
So it's not a bank. It's just like a money warehouse, I guess. We'll call it that, money warehouse. So the industrial shredder has broken down.
Oh.
And so these two people arrive at the industrial warehouse to, I guess, fix the shredder, but they're doing it with their computers because it's a computer error, I guess, with the shredder.
I gotta say, if you told me that there was a problem with an industrial shredder, which is just like five giant grinders fixed together, I would not guess that it was a computer problem. Well, I would guess that that was a mechanical issue.
The reason the shredder is shut down is because somebody hacked into it.
No, obviously, because they wanted to set up a reason to...
But that's impossible because that shit doesn't exist.
Yeah, why would it... Oh, no, damn it. They got into the Wi-Fi of our giant grinder. What?
What? Yeah.
Why does the giant grinder have Wi-Fi? I don't understand what's happening here.
So anyway, these two people show up, and spoiler alert, they're part of the bad guys.
No,
they're the
of
ones
course.
Who like hacked into the shredder to begin with. And it's this couple, and he's got like tattoos all over his hands. Okay, whatever, that's fine. But she's in this fucking dress that's over one shoulder and stops just below her ass. So
what?
Really inappropriate for work.
Yes. were they called from an orgy to come and do this job?
So like, of course they're bad guys, just by the way they're dressed.
They can't be bothered to deceive people at all.
So it's just like, it's so inappropriate.
Yeah.
Such an inappropriate choice of attire to go to work at a government facility.
Although I have to assume someone in the facility planted in their number to be called. But even still, like, you'd think the guards would see them and be like, nope.
No, I don't think so.
I don't believe this is what would the response from everyone would be. Nope, just, I don't believe this. No.
So the... I mean, the whole movie is pretty preposterous.
Okay.
And then there's some action at the end that doesn't actually make sense. Like the way bullets are flying. Like, I'm pretty sure physics doesn't work like that. Because it seems at one point like a bullet turns a corner. to hit a guy.
Ricochets are a thing, but not like usefully a thing. You can't plan ricochets is my point. And sorry, then, RoboCop 2.
And so like weird stuff happens where the film kind of like there's a mistake in the script, but then they kind of catch up with themselves and they fix it. Which is weird. Nice. The movie doesn't know if it's like making, if it wants to be like kind of poking fun at itself or not, because there's a scene where, I'm just going to ruin the movie. So the cops show
up. Go ahead.
At the industrial facility, and then you find out that the cops are in on it. They're in on the heist. And so the cop, like the sheriff or whoever, he starts telling, he's like, yeah, you came to me at the bar and I was this broken down man. And the guy's like, why are you telling me this story? I was there. I'm like, okay, that's funny, but it's the only moment in the movie that's like that.
Oh no. Yeah, it seems like if this movie had just embraced being a ridiculous movie about a hurricane heist,
yeah,
it probably would have been better, but yeah, maybe it was a little, maybe it thought it was a good idea for a movie, and it obviously
because
was not.
Because then they kind of forget about the hurricane, because they make their escape during the eye of the storm, and okay, then they just kind of like outdrive the hurricane.
I was just going to say, wait, if you're making your escape in the eye of the storm, aren't you still inside the hurricane?
Right, because then you still have to drive through part of the hurricane at one point.
I would say you have to drive through the entire radius of the hurricane if you want to get away.
Unless you're just going to stay
in the eye of the storm,
until it just dissipates.
Which is a viable option, except that I don't know that the eyes of the hurricane will like be guaranteed to stay on roads.
Yeah. Anyway, it was ridiculous, kind of fun, so there you go, Hurricane Heist.
Hurricane Heist, a fun movie that was terrible, and we feel sorry for that guy who feels that he was ripped off by the movie Hurricane Heist.
Yes.
Although Hurricane Heist was not good enough that, you know, we think it's going to kill his movie too.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, you also went to a film festival and hopefully saw something better than Hurricane Heist.
I did, absolutely. Well, yes okay. And no. Okay, so this
ouch.
Was the What the Film Festival, which celebrates outsider cinema. Another way to describe it is some of these films have been rejected from other film festivals.
Nice.
But that's kind of how that was, certainly for the short program. But the feature films, I saw three of the five features that they screened.
Okay.
And the first one I want to talk about is called The Laplace's Demon. It's an Italian film. It's all in black and white. It's largely green screened.
Oh.
It's amazing.
That sounds good.
Oh my God, it's so good. And it's about these people who are like brought to this hilltop mansion and find themselves subjects of an experiment in which a guy claims to have calculated how everybody's going to act and react in this situation that he's created.
Okay.
And so it's this whole thing about like whether or not like free will exists
if you can, yeah,
is predetermined. So it's, I really liked it. And if you have a chance to see it, you should, because it's great.
Laplace's Demon.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
After that, I saw a movie called Anchor Zone.
Anchor Zone.
Anchor Zone. So this movie was made in 1994 for $1.5 million and was meant to kickstart the Newfoundland film industry.
Oh no.
And
That didn't happen for one reason or another.
No, there are all these great plans for its release. It tanked.
Oh.
It didn't get a wide release. It was gonna be released on CD-ROM as like
no,
that never happened. Anyway, so it's not good.
Oh.
you have no real idea what the stakes are.
That's always a problem.
In the movie, it's post-apocalyptic.
Oh, cool.
And so, like, and that's always fun. And you've got different kind of street gangs and whatnot, and you have your evil corporation, but you don't really know what,
why anyone is doing anything.
Why anyone's doing anything. Why is this corporation so evil? I mean, they're conducting experiments on kids, but they're just making these kids smarter, and you're not really sure, like, what their agenda is, because there's obviously something else going on, but you never get to learn about it.
Maybe that would have come up in the CD-ROM version.
Maybe.
Maybe there was, like, bonus material, and you had to play a mini-game to play those scenes.
So, sadly, Anchor Zone was not the triumph of Newfoundland cinema, I guess.
Oh, thought, that they were obviously hoping for.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
But I'm glad I've seen it. I can add it to the list of weird, obscure movies I've seen.
Oh, totally.
And then the final movie that closed the festival is a Japanese film called Junkhead, and it is fucking amazing. It's the best movie I've seen and will see this year.
Junkhead.
Junkhead. It's a stop motion movie.
Oh, cool. I love stop motion.
It is so good. Long.
Okay.
It is long. But it is long. It's amazing. It took this guy 8 years to make.
Wow.
When he started, he had no idea, like, how to do stop motion animation.
Okay, that's pretty beautiful.
But it looks incredible. And it's just about this guy, Junkers. He's a robot, but he's also a human. And he's exploring, like, this sort of vast underground world, because he lives up top where the humans live, and he's sent on an exploratory mission down below.
Oh.
And there is a point to the mission that I won't get into. So, no. But basically the movie is just him and his sort of adventures or journey underground. And it's incredible.
Cool. That sounds great.
Yeah. So that was amazing.
Okay. Well, I will absolutely check out Junkhead.
If you can. It is not getting, it probably won't ever get like a big release or any kind of release.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll show up somewhere on the internet.
I'm sure
it'll be findable at some point.
One hopes. Right now, only festival audiences have been able to see this movie.
Okay, well, I will talk to what few connections I have about getting access to their, you know, like, Vimeo links to it. Because I'm sure they're out there, damn it. But yeah, Junkhead, I'm very excited now.
Yep.
That sounds very cool. All right. So I understand that you also have some short films you watched there? Or did you not go to the short film program?
I saw a few of the short films, but there's one in particular worth mentioning because it's about an evil clown.
Nice!
Yes, it ties in perfectly with today's theme. It's called Gitchy the Clown.
Oof.
Yeah, it's rough. And originally this movie was 40 minutes long.
It
was edited down to 20. I don't know who did the editing. If the filmmaker did the editing or if the programmer did the editing. Because no one's going to sit through 40 minutes of this movie. 20 minutes is enough.
More than, probably, based on the tone.
And so it's about this clown who tickles people to death.
Okay.
And there's a little rhyme that goes, Gitchy the clown, he doesn't say much. He likes to tickle, but he loves to touch.
Ew.
Ew, I know. And it gets so much worse because the way he's defeated is through the arrival of a pervert who enjoys the tickling.
Tickling?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I am not okay with this.
No, you shouldn't be.
I am so profoundly not okay with this.
Yeah. So that was weird.
Ew. Okay. Yeah. Do not.
Sequences go on for too long, and then this like weird pervy guy is hanging out through the whole movie, and then at the end, he kind of shows up when Gitchy's like tickling people to death, and he's like feeling himself. He's like, oh yeah, that's good. And then Gitchy kind of like explodes, and that's the end of him. And then everyone's like, what the hell?
So wait. So he made Gitchy use all of his tickle powers, and that made Gitchy explode?
No, because the pervert enjoys.
No, I understand that, yeah. But what I'm saying is, so he could take all of the-
And that's how he defeats Gitchy, is just being pervy.
I just don't understand why that makes Gitchy explode. If you told me that Gitchy, shriveled up into nothing.
Like, he kind of burns up.
Okay, because I thought he would like shrivel up into nothing because he had used all of his tickle power.
No, he just burns up because somebody's really pervy around him.
This sounds terrible.
It was awful.
Wow. Oh my god, that is terrible.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to...
Move on to a list.
I love lists.
And because our theme is clowns, I have a list here, 11 killer clown movies to watch this month, if you dare.
What month was that?
This was October 2016.
Oh, I was going to ask, it was to tie in with it, but it was obviously not. All right.
Okay, are you ready?
Of course I'm ready.
It's not enumerated. I don't think it's in... any kind of particular order. It's just a list.
I love those. I'm okay. Kidding. No, that's terrible. Go.
All right. So, Stitches.
Okay.
Nothing to say?
I've never heard of the movie Stitches,
if you'd like me to say that. Oh, okay.
I've seen most Killer Clown movies, or at least a lot of them, but I've never heard of Stitches.
I don't know if you have seen most. You've just seen a bunch.
I have seen a lot of them, that's true.
But I've heard of Stitches and you haven't. That's interesting. Okay.
It is weird.
Obviously, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which I did not enjoy.
Yeah, Killer Clowns from Outer Space is more, it's one of those movies that, like, genre fans of a certain age felt obligated to watch. Not because it's any good, but just because it's a clown movie with a lot of stop-motion effects. Isn't that interesting?
Sure, and it's campy, I guess. But there's the one guy who's just taking it way too seriously and ruining it for everybody else.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Okay, Killjoy.
Oh, Killjoy. All right. So Killjoy is the franchise that is a black horror franchise about a killer clown who's basically Freddy Krueger, but a clown.
No, he's not.
He does make a lot of jokes.
He's a vengeance clown, but he's not getting vengeance for himself.
No, no. I'm saying Freddy Krueger in the sense that he's a guy who shows up and makes a quip and kills you, not in the sense that...
When people say Freddy Krueger type, that's not what they think.
Okay, well no, he's not getting revenge for, he's not getting unjustified revenge the way Freddy Krueger is.
Yeah.
No, that's not it at all. But, he is, I mean, he's a fun character, and yes, in case you're wondering, did Killjoy go to the woods at one point? Yes, Killjoy did go to the woods at one point.
Okay.
He started out as a clown in the hood, and then he became a clown in the woods.
Aye.
Yeah, I think it was the third one, and it was, you know how every horror movie-
Killjoy 3 is Killjoy Goes to Hell.
Okay, it might have been Killjoy 2 then.
Killjoy 2 is Deliverance from Evil, and then there's Killjoy's Psycho Circus.
I have not seen Psycho Circus, but I'm kind of excited to now.
So it's probably number 2.
It probably number 2. As you can imagine, I don't have a good memory of the specific events of the Killjoy movies, because they're the Killjoy movies. But I do remember that they use that- that structure that everyone loves so much if they want to have a slasher movie set in the woods, which is like a bunch of kids who are juvenile delinquents are forced to go out in the woods to either experience nature or like pick up garbage. And then a murderer starts killing them.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty famous structure that even this one uses. There's an episode of MacGyver about that. Like it's not great. All right. What's next?
The Last Circus.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's a Spanish film. Centers on a bloody love triangle in a small traveling circus. A sensitive, sad clown and a vicious, happy clown square off for the heart of the troupe's trapeze artist, who also happens to be the happy clown's abused wife.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I don't know if that sounds like a horror movie, but maybe it is. It just sounds like a rough drama to watch.
Well, it says here, just when you think this movie runs out of crazy, it doubles down.
Okay, it is a legit horror movie then.
So I guess it is.
Wow, all right. I'm kind of intrigued to find out more about that. The Last Circus, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, next up.
Next, Clown House.
Oh, Clown House. The Victor Salva film. One of the first film performances of one Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this. Victor Salva convicted of sexually abusing his lead actor during filming.
Yep. Yeah, I did know that.
Ugh, Gross.
I know. Yeah, it's unbelievably rough, the story of Planet House. And the thing is, it's not a bad movie, and as we've said before, Victor Salva is good at making movies, we just find him to be kind of abhorrent.
I mean,
if you want to hear us trying to navigate the thorny moral issue of this, just listen to our Jeepers Creepers 3 show.
Yeah.
Where we got into this extensively. We're not going to talk about it here. Although I did have to defend someone on the internet a few months ago, because they were talking about how, because of obviously the Me Too movement, Victor Salva came up, as you would expect, because he's a man who got to go back to work after getting out of jail for child molestation. And so what happened was, people are like, all of these actors who knowingly worked with a child molester, and someone put Sam, and I'm like, well, that's another conversation, but more importantly, you put Sam Rockwell on that list, and that's not cool, because Sam Rockwell was his employee on the movie where he molested a kid and got arrested, and it only came out after the movie was done, so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Sam Rockwell didn't know, I'm saying Sam Rockwell did not, first off, he was like 17, but B, he didn't say, oh, there's a famous child molester making a movie, sign me up.
Yeah. No,
that's not at all what happened in Sam Rockwell's case. But the weird part is, Clown House is actually a pretty effective creepy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's murderous clowns, there's kids alone in a house, it's actually pretty effective. Like, it's a well-made film. Even if you have the specter of, you know, Victor Salva hanging over the whole thing.
Yeah. Alright, next up. Gacy.
Which one?
2003.
Oh, then I have seen that one. Yeah, it's weird to call that a killer clown movie.
Well, cause he didn't kill people as a clown.
No, he was just a clown.
He was a
part-time clown who also killed people. So yeah, I really don't think that,
I don't think it counts.
No, it should not be on the list. Although oftentimes they put on posters of movies about John Wayne Gacy, him in the clown makeup.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
Well, that's what they have going on here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But no, it's not fair to call that an evil clown movie.
Yeah. Okay, next, 31, which we haven't seen.
No, what's 31?
It's the Rob Zombie movie.
Oh, it's the Rob Zombie movie about the all of the psychopathic clowns who, yeah, then.
They have
it's
stupid
Halloween.
Names though.
Yeah.
Doomhead, Schizohead, Psychohead.
Like, so they all have
their name? Can't do better than that.
It's Rob Zombie. Why would you think that he could do better than that?
I don't know.
Do you think Rob Zombie is like thought, oh, you know what film had a really great script? That Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah.
No one has ever said that. You go to Rob Zombie for grindhouse ickiness and some truly, like, arresting, unpleasant 70s style imagery. That's what you go to Rob Zombie for. You don't go for tight scripting and clever dialogue.
Yeah.
All right. So we're probably going to see 31 at some point because it's Halloween and there's a woman who has to survive, in her encounter with, I assume, 31 killer clowns, probably played by Sherry Moon Zombie, although that's just a guess. So, I mean, this is something we're definitely going to see at some point, so we'll reserve judgment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go.
Next up, Clown.
Well, we covered Clown on the show, so.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So
just listen to that episode. Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. Here's your favorite, Clown at Midnight.
I do really like Clown at Midnight.
I have not seen it. I guess I probably should.
Oh, yeah, no, you should. It's very, very old timey and very 70s, but it's like, it's creepy
very
and
70s.
Weird.
This is 1999.
I don't know why I said 70s. No, I did mean 70s. Like, just from the vibe.
Okay.
It's weird and it's sometimes meandering, but it's a lot of fun. So yeah, Clown at Midnight, you should check it out.
Okay. And I think this is the last one. I don't know. Oh no, two more to go.
Okay.
100 Tears.
That I've never heard of. Is
I
it
have
is it North American?
This.
Or is it a foreign clown film?
I don't actually know. It says here this one is only for the true bloodlusters, as the titles of its Amazon reviews will attest.
Okay.
Big clown, big meat axe, big problems. It's a work of bloody brilliance. Okay. Turn off your brain because this one is all about gory fun.
Okay.
Best indie horror for 20, oh, it's 2007.
All right. 100 tears.
This movie is pretty rough hewn, so getting through it requires a strong constitution for low budget bloodbaths.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah. 100 tears. I have in fact heard of this. I don't know anything about it though.
Okay. 100 tears.
Okay. And the last one on the list.
Please.
Can you guess what it is?
It? No, that.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course. Duh. It's just, I'm like, when was this list made? Then I realized, no, there was a TV movie. It can be It. Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, we talked about It. Yeah. Well, it's a great first half. It has a really, really, really messed up second half that, you know, kind of doesn't know what it's doing at all. And I look forward to seeing how they adapt that in the feature film version. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a meandering mess. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll very much see. Okay, so you know what? That's not a terrible list. There's a couple of things that didn't really belong on there, but it's actually got me excited to watch a couple of other movies. So there you go.
Okay, perfect.
Way to go, list. All right, let's move on to the big question. Are people still making clown horror movies?
They are. But this week's upcoming horror movie isn't about a clown.
Oh, okay. I was really hoping you had surprised me by finding a clown movie.
I know, it was a good setup, but yeah, unfortunately,
it didn't happen that way.
Time. Okay, so this week's upcoming horror movie is called The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Oh, really?
Which is a very cumbersome title.
Might yeah, it's also a very famous title. Yeah,
like works for the book, but
yeah,
I don't think it's great for the movie.
No, it's tough to say.
Okay, so tells a spine-tingling tale of 10-year-old Lewis who goes to live with his uncle in a creaky old house with a mysterious tick-tocking heart. But his new hometown sleepy facade jolts to life with a secret world of warlocks and witches when Lewis accidentally awakens the dead. What does that have to do with a tick-tocking house?
Yeah, I mean, I read this book as a youth, so, you know, I am curious to see how they adapted it, because, you know, it's one of those things that I just remember reading, and it's going to be things where I can't tell you any single thing that happens in it, but when I sit down to watch the movie, I'll remember all of it. Mm-hmm. You know how it is when you read something as a child. So yeah, I'm interested to see how this turns out, and whether it really does count as horror, or whether it's going to just be more fantastical.
Well, the category here is fantasy / supernatural.
Okay, so yeah, they haven't made it darker than it was, which is good.
Okay, so starring Jack Black.
Oh.
Cate Blanchett.
Oh, well, I like Cate Blanchett.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I love Kyle MacLachlan. Okay, I'm back on board.
Written by, the author, John Bellairs, I think is how you pronounce his name, and yeah. Eric Kripke.
What? Oh no.
You don't like Supernatural?
I do, but it's not like he's involved with Supernatural.
Well, he
left that show back in
season,
I know, but he left it back in season 5 and he hasn't been involved with it in like 7 or 8 years. Okay. And he also wrote the movie, what was that terrible movie? Boogeyman? He wrote the god awful movie Boogeyman? Like, he's not someone who I think of as, oh, there's a great writer. No, he's a guy who came up with a format for a TV show that the fans adore, but is not necessarily, I would consider, a great writer himself.
Okay, it's like, get ready for this.
Please.
Directed by Eli Roth.
What? Okay, I know we're going to have to wait for this to come out on DVD, and then we'll do a Movies Eli Roth Should Not Have Directed double feature with this and Death Wish.
Wait, what? Say that again.
I said we'll do a feature on an episode of movies that Eli Roth probably should not have directed.
Ugh.
With this and Death Wish. And I know watching two Eli Roth movies is going to completely break you, but I'm very interested to see how Eli Roth's terrible, nihilistic sensibilities play off in these two massively different stories. So there you go. I know, I'm really making you depressed at the concept. I get that. All right, so Let's move on to movies we actually did watch, although using the term movie is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, especially for this first one.
Oh my god.
Our first movie tonight is simply called Him.
And you'd be like, is this the Asylum's version of It? And you'd be like, no, that would have been good. That's what I was hoping it was. It's not.
A group of amateur paranormal investigators head over to a haunted warehouse, get trapped inside, and are killed by an evil clown, or possibly a cloud of smoke. Maybe both.
it's kind of like Lost. You're like, is the evil clown the same as the cloud of smoke? I don't, huh?
Well, and there's also an evil little girl and a bunch of dolls.
Yeah. Oh my god, the dolls.
So, this movie.
It's only a movie in the most technical sense, in that it does contain moving images.
Yes, it does.
You can't deny that. This is the thing, if you are looking to like hang out with six friends and just laugh uproariously at some people who failed to make a movie, this is the movie for you. Like, cause it really does. There's stuff to laugh at. There is stuff to laugh at this movie. There are line deliveries that are terrible. This guy, there is a scene where a guy has to pretend to try to open a door.
Oh god, that.
And pretend to like, and his miming this door is locked is pretty hilarious. And then the way he overplays his shock at the door just swinging open the moment he says it's locked is, it's pretty funny. Like, it's very funny. And honestly, every time people start yelling about creepy dolls, I did laugh. And the film's opening is kind of amazing. Like, there's this old dude, right? And I just, it kind of has to be seen to be believed. And he's visited by a creepy little girl inside his house at night. And you're like, why aren't you more creeped out by this?
Yeah.
It's, you're having a very weird reaction to a 6-year-old girl in a fancy dress with black hair showing up in your house in the middle of the night. Like, I don't know. And then he gets to work the next day and we find out that his business is crumbling. And he's like, no, I made a deal that my business would be successful. What is happening? And then we see his car get repossessed and he's like, oh well, I'm sad about that.
That is not how cars get repossessed.
I know!
He shows up at your door and is like, I need to repossess your car now, hand over the keys. No, they come in the middle of the night and they tow your car away.
No, but then it gets even better because he then goes into work and then as he's like, I guess I just want to say goodbye to this old factory. If by factory you mean abandoned warehouse that's already trashed. Because they could not afford to dress it to look like an active place. Basically, they had a warehouse, they made a movie, is the story of this movie.
Yeah.
Right? But they didn't create a narrative that would explain that. And so, then a guy walks up and he's like, yep, I'm the devil's representative. And, you know, we were supposed to keep getting souls to keep your business running, but you stopped giving us souls. So now we're going to collect souls from whoever comes into the business. And I thought, and kill him too, right? Oh no, he just gets to leave and go back to his house. And then the next day someone comes up to repossess his house.
When did this whole business with the devil happen? Cause I watched this movie too and I don't remember any of that.
Oh no, you don't remember the scene where a black guy in sunglasses at night walks up to him and tells him that his deal is void and now anybody who comes into the warehouse is going to get killed because they need to get their souls one way or another?
No.
That scene happened!
Maybe I couldn't hear it because the sound is really
bad.
Although
the sound is god awful. The sound is god awful. You're absolutely right. But yeah, that scene did happen. And then, right before, then his house gets repossessed. And they call it repossessing his house.
And then it's like, you got 15 minutes to move out. It's like, what?
What?
No, that's not how this works.
And then he's also like, okay, I'll go get my things. Really? But then, and what I loved about this movie is then we cut to 1 year later. A woman finds a Ouija board on the beach.
I know! Then we have a bikini girl interlude that lasts like 20 minutes.
I'm like, they're playing with a Ouija board and nothing really happens.
No, and then another girl plays...
Charlie.
Charlie.
Yep.
And again, nothing happens.
Yep. And then it's like 2 weeks later. And then they cut from 2 weeks later to a couple making out in a car next to the haunted warehouse, and then they get killed even though they don't go inside the haunted warehouse.
But I guess they're close enough to the but at night, watching
at night it has like, more power.
You gotta get out of here. And they're like, well, we just want to make out real quick and then we'll go.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, well, I guess, but you really, like, you should go now. I don't understand what's going on here. And then we have a group of, like, university students who want to go to, what are they called? The Devil's Warehouse?
Yeah, the Devil's Warehouse.
To, I guess, investigate.
Find out. No, because they are friends of the people who disappeared. Right. They are friends of at least the guy or just the girl who disappeared. And they're like, he disappeared there. We've got to find out what happened.
Oh,
and it's going to be the perfect place for us to find proof of ghostly activity. And then like they get proof really early on and they're like, and then one of them gets like disappears and there's blood everywhere. And they're like, this is the perfect opportunity to find that ghost proof we've been looking for. Like, really? Because there's a dead guy. You know that, right?
But they're really bad at...
They're so bad at being ghost hunters.
They just kind of wander around in pairs. They don't... Some of them have cameras to film stuff. Some of them don't. They're not in contact with each other.
They're not doing EVP.
They haven't done any research on the facility. Like, there's just...
And then
wandering around until they get killed.
And then weirdly late in the movie, someone just dumps the whole exposition that there were a couple of guys and what they did was they made a deal with the devil that their business would be successful. And then they, as long as they sacrificed people to Satan, and then they all became billionaires and super successful.
Oh, but yeah, I remember that part.
They got disillusioned and stopped doing it. And then all of their businesses collapsed and then they all went insane and killed themselves. And I'm like, so that was the guy at the beginning? He was one of the guys who had been a billionaire and the last bit of his financial empire was this rundown factory?
Shitty warehouse. No, but it was babies, right? They were sacrificing every
Yeah, they were sacrificing, they yeah, like they had to kill a baby every month, yeah.
That's a lot of dead babies.
That was so many dead babies.
Oh my god.
It's not easy to do. So you see why I think this is the kind of movie that if you're looking for something to make fun of because it is incompetent on every level, you can do, like, there's a scene where they all huddle to have a conversation about the situation, and the camera's like, here's what I'm gonna do, the director says. I'm gonna lie on my back and shoot up at, like, the bottom of your mouths,
and then as you start talking,
I'm gonna swing the camera over to the one who starts talking, but I always kind of miss the start of what you're saying, or sometimes you wait for me for the camera to get there, so there's a weird gap in the dialogue until the camera's there, and then I start talking. It's just so badly done, cause he couldn't get a freaking fisheye lens to just show the whole conclave of people at once. Like, if you're looking for something to make fun of, if you're looking for a Schadenfreude kind of film, you can do a lot worse than him. Like,
But this movie is too long.
First off, it's only 80 minutes. Yeah.
To really enjoy the experience of watching this terrible movie.
Yeah, I would say that in the sense that I did get enjoyment out of watching it, I would say that there is enough craziness that you can enjoy watching the craziness. But you are right that it is slower than it should be. Like, absolutely. And it's not the most incompetent film I've ever seen, but there is so many sections of dialogue where they obviously did not have a script and were just like, just say something. And then the actors were not good at that. But yeah, him, it's not good. We're not recommending it, but...
And we DM's also, not... like, we don't know... So is the clown collecting souls? Is
yeah, no, the clown's working for Satan.
Smoke that...
And you might say, why is it a clown? There's no explanation for the clown.
No.
There's no reason for there to be a clown in there. That...
Or for the little girl.
There is a scene where a guy just, you know, gives... exposition, and in that giant ridiculous exposition dump, there could have been an explanation for the clown.
Yeah.
Like, they could have done that. They just chose not to. Because, again, they did not value our time watching this movie.
Yeah.
I think there's more unintentional comedy in it than DM does, so I'm going to give it a recommendation for that purpose, but you're like, just no. Don't watch him.
Don't watch okay. It. No.
All right. Next up is...
Clowntergeist.
A film where the best thing about it is the title.
A woman who's afraid of clowns finds herself targeted by an evil clown. Worse yet, she knows exactly when the clown will kill her, and there's nothing she can do about it. Or is there? No, there isn't.
Yeah, there is. I don't know why you're pretending there's not something she can
well,
do about it. There is.
She has to not be afraid of clowns.
Well, no, and she has to stab a clown to death.
You can't just, like, turn that on and off. I'm afraid of clowns. I'm not afraid of clowns. I'm afraid of, like, that's not how
it works.
You know
what? We'll get there. So this film is, like, rather strangely, first off, again, it's only 80 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
And, in that 80 minutes, 15 minutes of the film are just filmed versions of urban legends. And I'm like, I always wonder why people just put urban legends in their movie, like famous urban legends that everybody knows, or at least a lot of people know. Like, anyone watching this is going to have read the scary stories to tell in the dark that you got this from. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Although I guess The Clown in the House is more recent than Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, because it requires people to have, like, cell phones. But still, like, that's a famous one from the internet. The Clown in the House. Like, that's the kind of thing that gets forwarded around through Facebook as a thing that really happened. You know? But the dog licking her hand and the dog's over there, that is, like, that goes back to as long as there have been as long as we've been calling them urban legends, that's one of them. You know, and also, why is a clown licking her hand? I don't know,
just to freak her out, I guess.
But she never finds out that that's what was happening.
Why not just move your hand, like roll over?
Yeah. Yeah, that was puzzling. Especially because she's against the dog licking her hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, the point of the story is that you're supposed to be comforted by your friendly dog licking your hand, and then you look up and the dog is pinned to the wall, and you're like, ah!
Yeah.
It wasn't the dog at all, I was being comforted by the crazy murderer! See,
yeah.
Like that's what's supposed to happen. But she's against, first off, who has a dog and is against the dog licking your hand? Like, why did you get a dog then? Because that's their whole life.
I think it's her roommate's dog.
Even still. Yeah, so, seriously though, this film, what happened was, two people, one guy, who is the writer, the director, the producer, and editor, he had access to an ice cream shop, and he had access where he could film after 5 p.m., cause it's only ever nighttime in that ice cream shop, I think except for one scene. But it's like, he clearly had access to an ice cream shop after 5 p.m., so he knew somebody who owned an ice cream shop. And he had access to, like, two bungalows in suburban developments, you know, those generic houses, right? And so he's like, I've got these things. How can I make a movie? And he's like, well, killer clowns are popular. Boom. Done. There'll be a killer clown in these three locations that I have access to. And he didn't put a lot more thought into it than that. Because this film is a mess.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
This film is a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
But it's got way more story than him.
That's true. There is there's almost too much story in this movie.
You know why there's an evil clown. And you know why he's killing people.
And it's such a stupid reason.
And it might be a dumb reason.
You're right, that is true.
At least that is true.
They do, it's a reason. So seriously, in this movie, and I can't stress this enough, so there's the people who work at the ice cream shop, and then there's the guy who's, I guess, owns the ice cream shop? Who also drives an ice cream truck?
I don't know if he owns I don't think that the ice cream shop and the ice cream man are related to each other.
It's just because he shows up there to get his ice cream for the truck,
I think he just has stuff delivered to the shop.
Oh, okay. See, it's hard to tell.
Because they have a big freezer, so...
Maybe that's it.
He gets his ice cream delivered to the ice cream shop and he just goes and picks it up.
Okay, well that's entirely possible. But the point is, There's an old man who runs, the ice cream truck. And so the second he walks on screen, I'm like, okay, so I don't know how he's the villain, but obviously he's the villain. It's a creepy guy in an ice cream truck in a movie about a killer clown. It would be weird if he wasn't the villain. This film isn't that weird. But there's also a clown running around and a guy who, at the beginning of the movie, a guy's daughter gets killed by the clown and they have like the strangest interaction before she gets killed.
I didn't realize that was supposed to be his daughter.
Yeah, exactly, right?
His girlfriend.
I know, but apparently it's supposed to be his daughter. Yeah. And they have the strangest interaction because like she's in a bathroom and she has blood all over her face. And she's looking at balloons that have a time and date on them, and we find out that that's like 30 minutes away or an hour away or something. And then she's like freaking out, and he's like, stop freaking out. And then she just runs out of there and steals the car and drives over to the house where she gets clown murdered in that urban legend where there's a clown statue, but then it's not a statue and it kills you. And then he spends the rest of the movie like doing research into how that happened so he can stop the evil clown. And he just comes up with all of these facts about it. And it's like, I've done research into this clown. What he's really is a possessed guy from 30 years ago. And if you can just kill the body, then the demon won't be able to function anymore. And I'm like, how did you find all this out?
Yeah.
Like, where are you getting this evidence from about this specific clown that goes around killing people? And so then the clown just pulls a bunch of nonsense and he murders the cop in the town without doing the cop who has a British accent.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just kind of weird. And I guess there's no technical reason that a guy couldn't move from England and become a small town sheriff in America.
Are you really hung up on his accent?
No, it's just weird in the same way that were I watching a movie set in England and then the constable in that town, you know, 19 British characters, the constable in town, Southern American, nobody comments on it. It would be weird.
Hold on. What you're forgetting is that you're watching a movie that was made for about $20.
That's true. With people they knew.
Exactly.
Here are all of the actors we know.
You just gotta let it go.
You kinda gotta roll with it. Is the point. But yeah, it is weird though. It's one of the many, 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 many weird things about this movie.
I don't really care because I know what kind of movie I'm watching. So I'm really not that hung up about the British cop. So what then, I'm hung up about is how and why he was murdered because
yes,
he was
the clown.
On the clown's agenda.
Exactly. That's my point. Like out of nowhere, the clown is just like, oh yeah, I killed him and then I tore open his chest, which is apparently what the clown does. And I tied a bunch of balloons to his rib cage. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
But why?
I don't know.
Why are you doing this? Just to freak her out on the way home? And then they get it, she and her coworker and her roommate get into this weird argument about whether they should go to the cops.
Yeah, of course like, you should go to the cops.
Yes, you should go to the cops. The sheriff has just been murdered and a clown is trying to kill you.
Yeah,
and
but no,
like
I'm going to trust this guy I just met who's very clearly deluded because he thinks a man who was possessed 30 years ago is now going to come and kill me. Like, you have no reason to believe this person.
No, not at all. Also, I like that we hear, of course, they can't show us the police station because, again, this movie was made for $20. We hear that the co-worker who went to her house, found it full of creepy balloons, and then got beaten and tied up by a clown. The cops are like, probably just a normal break-in. Really? Because you're specifically looking for a clown-themed killer.
Yeah.
Someone murdered the sheriff and tied clowns, stole her car and filled it with balloons to trick him into the coworker into thinking she was home, then put balloons all around the house and attacked the coworker. You think that might not be related. Oh, yeah, and again, they will go to any lengths in this movie to keep from having to add additional characters to the movie, because that would increase the budget. And that is the one thing they are not able to do. So then, can we just talk about why this is all happening now? Can we cut to the end and completely spoil this movie?
Yeah, because the main character is afraid of clowns.
No, but specifically, the old man, has a demon clown. that
we don't know how or why, he just does.
He does, and he has used research into magic to take control of the evil clown, and now
he sicks his demon clown on people
scared of clowns to help them get over their fear of clowns. Or die. Because it's better to be dead and at peace than to live while being afraid of clowns.
But the thing is, like, coulrophobia, I don't know how crippling that is.
It really isn't. You almost never run into clowns in your daily life.
Yeah.
I literally cannot tell you the last time I ran into a clown when I didn't choose to be near a clown. Like, I had to take steps to watch a movie about a clown in order to have any encounters with a clown in my day-to-day life.
Right.
So, it's like, oh no, I'm going to start killing people because they're afraid of algebra and it's crippling them because they get involved with so much algebra in their day-to-day life.
Right, so...
That is the amount of, like, absurdity of this premise.
But also, how and why does this guy know who's afraid of clowns?
I think he knows because he drives a clown-themed ice cream truck.
So whoever doesn't buy ice cream from his clown
from his truck, yeah,
truck is by default afraid of clowns.
Yes. Although, honestly, you'd think he would be killing more people. Because a lot of people are freaked out by clowns.
Anyway.
And the weird part is he seems to have lived in this town for a while, because everybody knows him. But he's only just started clown murdering people?
Well, maybe it took him a while to get a hold on controlling his demon clown.
Well, no, according to him, he's been at this for like 30 years. What I kind of love is that the father is quite explicitly, like, the rules are so unclear, because the father is explicitly not afraid of clowns, and he messes up this clown pretty hardcore.
Well, he shoots it a bunch of times with his crossbow.
Crossbow, his weapon of choice.
But that doesn't work.
So. I know. But then later, when she's not afraid of clowns, and she just stabs it with a knife, the clown goes down hard and fast. And stays down.
So I guess and the I'm person like, who's afraid has to be the one to do the
yes,
clown murder.
I think that's the only explanation that I can offer, is that it has to be the person who's afraid of the clown.
I would argue this trauma will not cure her of her fear of clowns.
No, if anything, it's going to make it more severe, because she knows, like, she was just previously afraid of clowns. Now she knows that there are literal demon clowns out there waiting to murder people.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, that would make me more afraid of clowns rather than less.
Yes, so the logic is flawed.
Yes, and I just kind of like, one thing I did kind of enjoy was that the old man who controls the clown, like, he's like, I've been doing this for 30 years, trying to get people to not be afraid of clowns and to kill this clown. Well, someone finally did. Did not see that coming. I guess I'm done.
That's it for me.
That's it for me. You know, job complete.
I'm going to go kill myself.
Yeah. Like, there's no suggestion that I'm going to, like, try and get another clown or move to another town or something like that. It's like, that's it for me. I'm done. Okay.
Yeah. See, I thought good. Like, if he'd been burdened with this demon clown and this is the only way he can get rid of it is to get
then I would actually understand the whole plot of this movie. If it had just been something he had been cursed with. But instead, they make it act like it would, they act like it was all his idea. And I'm like, no!
Well, no, you like, we still don't know the origin story of that demon clown.
That's true, he might have been cursed, but that is not an element in the movie.
No, it's not. It has, no, it's just guy controls killer clown. That's it.
That's the whole plot.
Did you notice that there are a lot of reshoots in this movie?
I did notice people changing a bunch, but I didn't assume it was reshoots. I assumed it was they just filmed it over a long period of time people were available.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's true, because at one point she's wearing a weave.
Yeah.
It's very obvious, and because her hair keeps changing length, and there's even a scene, because she drives a blue car, but there's a scene where she's in fact in a red car.
Yes, because again, that was what was available that day.
Like, can't even get like the, anyway.
Yeah, the fake driving in this movie is pretty amazing, actually.
God.
Like when she's pretending to drive a car, it's Wow. That was something else.
Anyway, I think Clowntergeist is a better movie than him.
Oh no, sure. Totally. Well, no, there's a reason we did him first. Clowntergeist is absolutely a way better movie than him. Him is complete unadulterated garbage. This, like, at least has something going for it and has a truly weird central idea. Like, a stupidly weird central idea. It's not a good movie, but it's way better than him. And I think we can both sign off at, like, a Schadenfreude viewing of Clowntergeist. Which, by the way, never demonstrates Poltergeist-style abilities.
No, it doesn't, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's like, you put that in the title.
I'm expecting some kind of, like, ghost clown.
Yeah, a ghost clown, but it's literally just a possessed guy who, not to crap on his work too much, he's very bad at doing mime acting of being a possessed demon clown. Like, the walk he chooses to do, the loping he chooses to do were very bad mime choices.
How would you want a possessed clown to move? Maybe that's just not your vision of a possessed clown. What's right? Because neither one of us have encountered a possessed clown.
He should do clown walking!
But maybe that's but he's possessed by a demon. I think he was just a guy who was possessed by a demon.
And coincidentally, he was dressed as a clown at the time. I'm just
so
saying, if
a demon walks.
And he's dressed as a clown, but it actually, to me, having him loping around like an animal made it less scary to me than if he were, more clown themed.
Yes, no, it did look dumb. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you, but
you're agreeing with me in the most.
There is a right way.
I'm not saying that there's a right way. I'm saying there's a way that would be more visually effective when making a horror movie.
I don't know,
and that is absolutely true.
Because I don't think clowns, and I'm not afraid of clowns, and
no,
so
plenty
I
of people
find
are.
Like horror clowns kind of silly to begin with. So.
Well, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right that it is, the whole idea of the evil clown is kind of preposterous. But in this case, I think that it could have been more effective had they done it that way. So yeah, I gotta say, it's not good, but I would be lying if I said I didn't enjoy myself.
Okay.
I mean, I literally briefly fell asleep during him.
I may or may not have nodded off. Which might be why I missed that.
You missed that scene. Yeah. And I never completely fell asleep because I had headphones on. So I closed my eyes and I listened to dialogue with people talking about freaky clowns. And then they got to the speech about how all of these billionaires have been sacrificing babies to a demon.
That was so preposterous.
And then my eyes went wide. I'm like, what? Did I just hear that? So it's not a good movie. Him, definitely better than him though. So, alright. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
I've written reviews for The Laplace's Demon and Junkhead. The Laplace's Demon review is up. You can read it over at influxmagazine.com. And Junkhead is forthcoming.
All right. Well, I encourage people to check those out because your reviews are always boss as F.
Well, thank you.
Constant stream of new content at Hidden Object Guru at, Hidden Object Guru at YouTube. Every Friday, new Criminal Minds review at Vargelon.com. I'm thinking that once I pre-post through the end of the year, I'll start switching it over to 2 per week. For next year, so we get through the show a little faster.
Okay.
So it might be Mondays and Fridays starting in January. And I know it's weird to predict something that's going to happen in 10 months. But, I'm burning through the episodes so quickly. At some point, I'm going to have 4 years of stuff pre-posted, and that seems ridiculous. So instead, I'm going to do it. Well, no, 3 years. But it's going to be it's probably better to sort it out that way. And I just want to say, I mean, I know you tell me it keeps getting worse, right?
Yeah.
But I am now most of the way through season 9, and I honestly don't understand how it can keep getting worse than this.
Well, wait till season 10.
Okay, no, you're right, but it's like, I saw the Jeffrey Combs episode, right? And it's weird because I had the strange experience where, like, so they do this dual role thing where they never show the killer's face, right? And then Jeffrey Combs is also playing a Nebuchadnezzar character at the side of the thing. So you hear the killer's voice, but you don't see his face. And he's like, guess what? It was the same guy. And the weird part is, I know Jeffrey Combs is, you know, everything about him so well that when you didn't see his face and you just heard him say the word welcome, I'm like, Jeffrey Combs is playing the killer.
Yeah.
Cause he has an instantly recognizable voice. You always know when you're hearing Jeffrey Combs. And then he does such a different voice and look as the Nebuchadnezzar guy, I didn't realize it was Jeffrey Combs when I first watched him. Cause he's a very good actor and a very good voice actor. But, so I'm watching this episode, and I don't know if you've seen this episode, there's a guy killing prostitutes and a bunch of hackers trying to spring a guy out of jail because he had been arrested for the first prostitute murders 10 years ago, but now there's a copycat, but is it the real killer? Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, is that when Garcia has to become the Black Queen or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. She gets all gothed out and gets and puts on her Black Queen costume.
Yeah, and that guy's like a huge asshole to her.
Oh yeah, her ex-boyfriend is the worst.
Yeah.
But I'm watching this episode and I honestly can't, and I wrote all about this in my review, so look forward to that in about a month. I honestly can't tell you how the team solved the crime. Like, it's not clear at all how they solved the crime. No, it's fine. Read my review at the day, but it's just, it's so weird because I'm watching the episode and they're like, they got so lazy at this point that like, they forgot to solve the crime. They just had the guy, they just had the team show up at the killer's lair without bothering to tell us how they got there. I'm like, maybe they had to cut stuff for time, but no one thought that it's, I think, indicative of the show's quality that no one thought the fact that they cut out the scene where they figure out where the killer is, or like who the killer is, that they thought, oh, we can just cut that scene out. That's not a scene we need. That's fine. That the fact that they thought that for a second really makes me worried about the people who make this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the episode where, the 200th episode where they, got what, JJ was up to when she was spying. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know that she's qualified for this job, and I don't think she should be doing it, but, like, so this whole episode is ridiculous, but in all of these flashbacks and all of the team scrambling around, they catch the guys because the bad guy's entire plan is to use their codes to log into an ultra-secret government server and steal some data, but the minute they actually log into the server and steal data, the government's gonna know about it, and just send people to arrest them. And that's what happened. Like, the team doesn't figure anything out or come to any conclusions or use profiling. They just kind of hang out until they actually access the server. And then Garcia's like, this is the server they're accessing. And then they just drive over there and shoot everybody. I'm like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Seems like a weird, like, if that had happened on an episode of 24 or an episode of NCIS, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. But for criminal minds, you expect them to put a little more work into the solve.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, this is the worst season of Criminal Minds up until all of the ones that come after it, apparently. All right, so that's that. Is there any other way to contact us?
Yeah, you can read the Avod's blog at theavod@gmail.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us about your, I guess, least favorite episode of Criminal Minds, because that's what this has turned into now. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And I encourage you to do all of those things. And I don't know why you didn't ask people, like, I know you want to take a shot at my Criminal Minds obsession, but ask people to comment about what their favorite evil clown movie is.
Nah, I'm not interested in knowing.
Wow! Oh, burn. All right. So yes, we'll see you back here next time. But until then, I've been... Sorry.
Seriously?
I don't know why I found that so funny. I've been Kevin Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.